But then in England, you did some dating.
I did some dating and dated a number of English girls. But the way that really got started is we were at Lake and Heath Air Force Base. Our squadron consisted of 25 officers and about 200 enlisted men. We were an area that did atomic stuff, and so all of us had been cleared for top secret, and we were in a separate area with fences 25 feet high and air police standing every 10 feet around to guard us. There was not room on the base for the officers to live, so we had to find our own lodging anywhere we could, and so we went to little English villages in the area. I was living at a place called Hareton House, which is in Exning, which is a suburb of Newmarket. Newmarket is a big racing community in England. We lived in this big house. The other two officers from our squadron who I lived with, one weekend they'd gone to London. They came back and said they had a wonderful weekend, and they met a man in London. His name was Peter Miles. Peter Miles, they said, worked for the American Embassy. He had been an Air Force officer, graduate of UCLA. And he invited them back and to bring me back and said he would show us around London. So for many weeks after that, whenever we could get leave, we would go into London, which was about 60 miles away. He would take us to theaters and restaurants. He had an apartment with two extra beds, so the other two officers stayed with him while I would stay at the American Officers Club, which you call Winfield House, and it was formerly owned by Doris Duke, you know, a really wonderful place. He knew a lot of the women who were actresses in the theaters, and he introduced us to a number of them. One of them was a lady by the name of Lillimore Knutson. I had several dates with Lillimore, and later on, actually, she represented England in the Miss Universe contest. But after having several dates, she decided she wanted to dump me, but to do it in a nice way. She had gone to dramatic school with Jasmine Lindsay. So she arranged for me to have a blind date with Jasmine Lindsay. We had this blind date, and Jasmine will tell you, Jasmine thought it was awful. I thought it was
wonderful. Worst date I've ever been on.
It was the worst date you
I have ever been on. Surely.
All right, so let's pick up from your side here, Jasmine. So
well, Mel arrived late. We were supposed to meet outside the theater. I had no idea what he looked like because he was completely unknown to me. And my mother was very much against me even going on the date, but fortunately for me, my mother was in the hospital having just had surgery. So she could do very little about it except express the fact that she thought this was absolutely ridiculous to go on a blind date. But anyway, I said, well, you know, it won't do any harm if we don't like each other. We'll just walk away. So I went, and it was about mid-afternoon, and I was to meet at the theater that I was working at. Melvin said he'd be in his uniform, so I would recognize him that way. I was standing there waiting for an American to appear. And one did, and he was probably 350 pounds, 5'2", in a uniform. And I thought, this was not the way that he was described to me under any circumstances. So I thought, this cannot be. But he walked towards the theater, and I thought, gee whiz, here I am, you know, exposed. I'm in my black, because I was wearing a black suit with a red rose in my lapel. And I thought, if he recognizes me, I'm sunk. So I thought, well, I'll go around the other way. The theater was sort of like a quadrangle. So I started walking in another direction, turning my back, so you wouldn't be able to see that I had the red rose on and my suit was black. A lot of people wore black in those days. So I thought, well, if it is him, he will definitely approach me. But if it's not, then I'm all right. So I was looking at the pictures in the theater, and he came over to the theater and started looking at the pictures but didn't look at me. I could see in the reflection of the glass. So I thought, well, maybe I'm lucky. Maybe this is not him. So I thought, well, Melvin was late. And I thought, well, possibly I'll give him a few more minutes, and if the other fellow doesn't turn up, then I'm going home. So I walked around again and several more times, and I just about decided to go back home when a black limousine came up, and this man jumped out, all wet, in an American uniform, I'm soaking wet, and said, are you Jasmine? And I was so taken aback, I didn't have time to view what I was seeing. So I said, yes, I am. And he said, well, I've had an accident. There was a man and a woman in the car, a beautiful car. And they said, come on in. And I said, well, where are we going? And they said, well, he has to change clothes. He's soaking wet. So we're going to take you back to the officers' club he will change clothes and then, you know, you will go on your date. So I thought, well, there's safety in numbers. At least there's a man and a woman there. So if anything happens, you know, surely they'll help me. So we went to the officers' club and Mel said, come on in. You can sit in the foyer while I go upstairs to change clothes. So the man and the woman bid me adieu. They were going home. They were a married couple and they were friends of Mel's. They were going back to their children in their apartment in London. So they said goodbye and left. And I went with Mel inside the officer club. And it was a beautiful foyer that we walked into. And there were a lot of people swirling around all over the place. And of course, Melvin was given very strange looks because he was sopping wet. He explained that he had been boating on the River Thames. And the boat had developed some problems with the propeller. And there was greenery had caught into the propeller and stopped it. He was with another man, another American. Both of them had had to jump out of the boat to try to get the greenery off the propeller and get it started again. The other fellow had just gone off back to the base, and Melvin now had to come back because he didn't have a chance to make a stop anywhere because he was already late, and he had to pick me up. So that was why he was alone, wet, and I didn't know anything about the other man till later. So he said, would you mind waiting down here? We'll have dinner here because it's a very nice restaurant, and then we'll go off to the theater or a movie. I said, fine. So I'm sitting downstairs, and then I remembered I had a very good friend who had told me she'd never heard of a blind date like this either, where, you know, you just met somebody on the street and you weren't actually formally introduced. So she said to me, the first phone you see, you must call me, because if you don't, I'm going to be angry with you all day. So I said, well, okay, I'll call you. As we were walking into Winfield House, I noticed on the left side was a windowed area, and there was a man standing talking on the telephone. So that connected, of course, with my peanut brain, that I must definitely get to that telephone and call. So as soon as Melvin started up the stairs to go to his room and get dressed, I headed for the telephone. I walked through a door. There was a gentleman coming out, and he sort of gave me a startled look, but didn't say anything. And I walked through the next door, and there was the telephone. There was a beautiful chair, big armchair. I sat down in the armchair. And I called my friend, and she said, where are you? I said, a place called Winfield House. I said, it's a gorgeous place, and we're going to have dinner here tonight, and then going off to the theatre. So she said, well, what do you think of him? I said, well, I didn't really have much time to think of him. I only saw him in the dark of a car, a limousine. And then I said, he was sopping wet. We walked sopping wet into Winfield House, and everybody was giving him strange looks. And I said, so that's my only impression of him. I said, I guess I'll find out more over dinner. I said, I've got to leave. I said, it's getting a little embarrassing here. And she said, what do you mean by embarrassing? I said, well, I don't understand this. But I said, gentlemen keep coming through. And I said, they're zipping up their pants and they're giving me the strangest looks and everything, and I can't figure it out. She said, good heavens, where are you? I said, honestly, I don't know. I said, I just saw the telephone and I came here. So I started out of the door. Another gentleman came in and gave me a very startled look. And I walked out of the main door, and it seemed like the entire foyer froze. That's what it appeared to me. It was like being in something really peculiar. Everybody was looking at me and they sort of froze, including the desk clerk and everybody. I thought, what's everybody staring at me for, you know? So I tried to be as dignified as possible as I walked to the nearest sofa and sat down while everybody's still staring at me. And then I turned casually back to see where I had been. I'd missed a neon sign that said, gentlemen. I'd been in the gentleman's room calling my friend. So I had some explanations from a few people afterwards. But that was the beginning of our date.